Blog Talk Radio.
When my thoughts overwhelm me and I feel I would never survive. Most times my thoughts would propel me, but today seems I'm fighting the tide. All my answers should come from above, picking knowledge like fruit from a tree. Godly answers should come from inside, but buddy keeps on calling me. Try to strengthen my heart with purpose. Try to strengthen my soul with vision. Every day is a struggle to sustain, but I still walk through faith on my mission. Good evening, America. Welcome to another installment of Thoughts of a Brother. My name is Billy Boston, a.k.a. Bone. One time for real Bone, stand up. Pass it on to my co-host to the right of me. Let him introduce himself.
Good evening. Co-host to the right again, Corey Washington. I ain't gonna start my spiel just yet. Keep passing the thing on to the right.
Good evening, good evening. This is your co-host, Derek L. Randall. Going right into this thing, boys. Ain't no sense of holding up. We're gonna go right back into it. Double standards, men versus women. Before you came, Corey, Bone was telling us about. He was watching TV today, and he came across a couple of things. Even our engineer. One time for our engineer, we appreciate him coming on, helping us out. Anthony Thomas, one time, appreciate that. Also want to send a shout-out. I'm sorry I got off something, and I wanted to say this earlier, but I also want to send a shout-out to Katrina Firefoot Giant Ross. Take some excellent pictures of us yesterday at our photo shoot. Really appreciate that. Thanks for looking out. Now I go back into what I was saying. Bone was telling us that he seen some on TV today, and it kind of came into play with this double standards thing. Bone, you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give him a plug. Well, you know, Jerry Springer. Watching Jerry. We know what Jerry do. And today's show was, what was the title of it? Leave My Gay Lover for You or something like that. All right. Give me a second, Cole. give me a moment. I'm going to get there. All right. So, you know, the subject was a young man bought his best friend, which was a woman, you know, and he wanted to profess his love to her and everything on national television. But before he could go through all of that, he felt like she needed to know that for the last year and a half, he had been sleeping with men. Right. So it made me think, you know, double standards, men versus women, right? Okay. How is it that society has, I don't know, I don't want to say allowed, but has accepted the fact that, you know, a woman can jump from men to women, women to women as much as they want. And at the end of the day, she is still a woman.
Yeah.
A man even think about sleeping with a man.
He's gay.
He is gay. From that day forward, no matter if he marries a woman, has kids, you know, anything, he is gay just simply because of that initial thought, act, or whatever it may have been. That is one of our double standards that we have with today.
Yeah, boy.
You know it's too early.
Yeah, boy.
Listen, though, I was saving that one. I was going to save it. Homeboy wanted to go ahead and get it out there.
So and I knew you didn't know. So it was just like, that's perfect.
That's dirty, man. You could have gave me. Oh, man. Wow. It is a double standard, man. It's a double standard, and it's one that we have come to live with, man. You know what I mean? It's one we accept. Is it right? No. Is it true? Yes.
Yeah, definitely it's true.
I mean, we want to be right, and we want to look at things from the right perspective. But at the end of the day, like I said, I guess that was a couple of weeks ago. Anything that we can't see ourselves being subjected to, we have a hard time accepting.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it comes from. That's the bottom line. Is he wronger? That's not a word, but I'm going to make it one today.
Yeah.
Is he wronger than she is? No. But is he accepted like she is? No.
No.
How do you get to watching Jerry Springer?
White watching Jerry Springer. I don't really like Jerry Springer.
All right.
Or what's his name? Wilco, whatever.
Oh, Steve.
Steve Wilco.
Steve got his own show now.
I don't really do Jerry and Murray them, but the wife was watching, so.
Yeah, man, that's a tough one, man, because we.
And you know, and I want to say this. I don't want our listeners to think that is just the male standpoint. You know what I mean? That's not just the male standpoint. I mean, women think that way too. You know, on the same show, you know, our audience member stood up and asked the young lady, it was like, well, you know, how you going to stand up there and be with that man after he told you, he slept with a man? You know, how are you going to do that? And, you know, so it goes both ways.
Well, there's a thing called love. It's real strong.
There you go.
Yeah, it is.
It's real strong, man.
And it goes back to what you said. I can't see myself doing it, so I can't accept nobody else doing it.
Yeah, but
so when I see it, even though, like you said, ain't nobody wronger, because we're going to make it a word today.
Yeah, that's not a new word.
We're going to make it a word today. Ain't nobody wronger in this standpoint than the other, because two wrongs don't make a right. But it's up to the individual's interpretation. My interpretation, because I can't see myself doing it, I don't agree.
Right.
What would you say to that young man? I'm gonna say do you, whatever. Leave me out.
Since we're on the subject of that, you being a straight man, could you be friends with a gay man?
Yeah, I have none. I have no problem with homosexual at all.
Definitely.
I've worked with him in the past, you know. So, I mean, I have no problem with him.
What about you?
I would kind of question, like, how far would the friendship go? What can we talk about outside of? I don't know. What are we going to talk about?
But, oh, no. I mean, you talk, because if we base it off the standpoint that his conversation is going to be feminine.
You talk to women.
You talk to women.
Yeah, but they're women. They're not men. That's different.
But, I mean, but they're the opposite sex. They don't have really a whole lot in common with us, but we still are able to hold a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And find a level of understanding and agreement.
I guess you get the point.
And then, if I'm your friend, at some point, if we real, real true friends, I don't think I'm looking at the sex in. Does that make sense?
Nope.
So, wait.
I understand what you're saying, but if I understand it from...
Right.
Let me let you explain what you're saying before I...
What I'm saying is, like, if I'm a friend, say for instance, I'm a friend with somebody I grew up with in Rogoni.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been friends male to male just as long as I've been friends female to male.
Right.
At some point, because it's platonic, the friendship is different, of course, in the conversation because it's a female-male conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see attraction. So I see both friends the same time. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, I get you. So it's okay for you to have... A female friend that's straight,
mm-hmm.
you straight. I'm saying being single. Put yourself
right,
as a
right.
single man. Can you have a female friend and not go past friendship?
Yes, possible. It means basically what you're saying is can you have
a relationship with a female
yeah.
for a long period of time?
Yeah. You don't think that's possible?
I think it's possible. I think it's hard. Because if you're talking to this female, like, if you sharing stuff with her that you would share with your boys, but she's not a boy, that opens up a whole nother type of emotion towards her. You know what I mean? Like, if I could sit and talk to you like this.
That's a closeness. That's a closeness that comes out. But that's why I said earlier, if that attraction is not there, you might not have to worry about it.
That's what I was about to say. I mean, if that's the case, then if that
there's some attraction,
if that friendship is going, you know, opens the door to something else, then in the beginning, then there's some kind of type of attraction in the first place. You know, if that attraction is not there in the first place and it's just a friendship sparks, then why can't it just be simply that, just a friendship?
It can be. We're just discussing it. I mean, you know what I do.
Yeah. We're looking at all sides of it.
But yeah, back to your boy and Jerry Springer, man. I guess at the end of the day, if his female is willing to go along with that.
And she seemed to be, you know, she was understanding. Didn't like it, you know, because they were friends, but that was something he hadn't shared with her.
Right.
You know, so she was upset about that, you know, that we were friends, and you would have told me that from the beginning, but she seemed to be open to giving him a try.
With his issue.
The issue came out on the stage.
Hey, more power to
that's
you.
Love, though.
The issue came out on the stage.
I know of some fights.
Yeah.
I know of some fights.
Jerry Springer wouldn't have been there.
I know of some fights.
No, full-blown issue.
So to me, that doesn't necessarily sound like a double... Well, the double standard is do we
accept
his
sexual yeah.
orientation.
Right.
As far as that relationship goes, it wasn't a double standard. It was a thing of trust. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just, why you ain't tell me?
Right.
Why you bring me here to tell me? So you didn't lie to me about that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's
yeah. But see,
you could have told me you were gonna say that before we got.
Yeah.
You know how we like to do surprise. Surprise each other.
Yeah, America. We don't just surprise you with what we come at. We surprise each other on the regular, right here.
Cool.
It, I mean, we equal. We equal, right here. We keep it equal.
So we want to go back over how we ended the last show with my boy Greg. I was hoping that we would get a chance to talk to Greg again, but it didn't play out that way. But we ended the show with Greg talking about turning his back on single mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I wanted to talk to Greg a little further is to understand where that mentality comes from. Like, how do you get to the conclusion that that's the answer? Now, we can only speculate at this point because we don't have Greg here to give us the answer. But how do we feel about that? Do we believe that that is the answer to solving the quote-unquote problem of single mothers? And, yeah, I'll just leave it right there. Single mothers. I won't even call that a problem because that's part of life, but that's what we were talking about. That's what we were discussing. So is the answer to shun them, totally turn away from them? Show them that that's not the right thing to do. Is that, I mean, because that's what I took from what he was saying.
Yeah, chest time.
Yeah, basically.
Ostracize.
I mean, I don't think that's the way to go about it, obviously, because I married a single mother.
Right.
So, you know, obviously, I don't think that's the route to go. You know, I love my son. He's my son. He's mine. Didn't come from my seed, but he's mine. You know, I love him like he's mine. But that to me, doesn't mean anything. I miss out on the love of my life, miss out on my soulmate because she's a single mother.
Yeah.
Nah, that doesn't make sense to me.
And to piggyback off you, Bone, I married a single mother, a mother myself. And, turned out to be one hell of a woman if I made this for myself. But inside of that, we also have to pay attention to the fact that there are single males, too. So if we're going to ostracize the single females, what we do with these single males? Not the females don't want us, we don't want the males. I mean, the females don't want the males don't want the females. Where the unity is? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you turn your back on me, what do I turn my back?
And
that's
like
not
somebody
really
said
answer.
Last
yeah.
week, if you turn your back, what are you turning to?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we just talked about
real.
That's
real. Because if you say you turn against women, and now the women turn against men, well.
Yeah, we got a bad situation.
Got ourselves a problem. Got ourselves a real problem. But, I mean, Greg not here to comment and further elaborate on what he was saying. But I wish he was so we could get a little more meaning to it. But I think, and I'm not trying to talk for you guys, but I think our collective understanding that this has been like turning your back is not the answer, you know,
no.
on anyone.
And now's not the time to turn your back on anybody.
Yeah.
Times is hard. Struggle. Right now we need to be trying to come together. Turning our back on anybody, single mothers, single fathers, anybody. Grandparents that raise children, you know, because of their parents not being there for whatever reason, anybody shouldn't be turning our backs on anyone right now.
And backs being turned is probably what led to her being, could be, I'm not going to say probably, it could be one of the reasons why she's a single parent anyway, because somebody turned their back.
Yeah, somebody, and it could be either side. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's not just we saying turn your back on the female, because she could turn her back on him, you know? I mean, and that brings up another subject, too. I don't know if we're ready to go there or if I'm just jumping subjects, but we have to be accountable as men what we present to these single women. They don't just have to be accountable for what they present to us as single women. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not presenting yourself or presenting something to me that's worth going for, I'm going to turn my back on. Now, for me just to go out and say I'm turning my back on everybody that's in this category and you ain't done nothing to me, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of crazy, but I mean, that's just my spiel.
Yeah, that's the point I was trying to make to Greg last week. It's not another place he went was that the blame is on them. The situation, yeah. The situation that they're in is their fault. Not necessarily. I mean, at what point do we take accountability for us? Well, if they didn't give it to us, we wouldn't. But offering it don't mean you got to
take it. Yeah, it's both ways.
A man ride down the. I'm standing outside the store a couple weeks ago. A man ride up on a bicycle with fish in a bag. Mm-hmm. Uncooked fish. No, it was. I'm sorry, cooked fish.
In a bag.
I'm looking for in the plastic bag. Hey. I got some. Just because he offering it don't mean
yeah,
I want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wait,
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. But the point I'm trying to make is everybody got to be accountable for themselves. That's the only way we change this thing. That's the only way we get in a better situation, according to somebody crazy like me.
I just thought of something. I'm going to throw this out there. Being that we're doing radio, and we see radio hosts.
Mm-hmm.
You see talk show hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say the majority of talk show hosts we know are female?
Absolutely.
Would you say the majority of radio hosts we know are male?
Seems that way.
Yeah, it would. Off the top of my head, I would say yeah, without thinking about it. Yeah.
Now, with that synopsis being put out there. Do you think it's a reason or is it a double standard? Is men on the radio because they don't present themselves as well as women do on TV?
Well, see, it's market, I think. You know, it's
but is that bigger. A double standard?
If I'm sitting at home watching TV, I'd rather look at a pretty lady than a man.
Exactly.
You know,
TV is visual.
But the standard, though. So the standard we're saying is you have to be pretty to be on TV.
From a market, if I'm a CEO or whatever of a network, from a marketing standpoint,
mm-hmm.
I'm more concerned with ratings.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to boost my ratings? Now, I know during the day, now, it could also depend on what time of day we're talking about.
Right.
Because in the middle of the day, do I expect more women to be watching TV or more
mm-hmm.
men?
Good point. Because you got a lot of male talk show hosts at night.
Now, if we're talking about the middle of the day and if I'm trying to boost ratings, it would make sense to me to have a woman on TV because I would catch those men who, for whatever reason, are watching TV during the day and they just looking at the woman.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as content, they're going to reach further. Having a woman host is going to reach further with the women audience because they relate.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally understand. But inside of that, is that another double standard?
It goes back to the question I just asked you about a female friend. You
right.
relate more to another male than you would a female.
Right.
That's why it's a big deal for a male to have a female friend and it just be friendship and vice versa. Like for a woman to say, that's my friend, how many of us going to really be okay? Really, that's just your friend. Ain't nothing else going on in that, but that's just your friend. But it's possible. I mean, it's just a rarity.
Yeah.
And that's where I was going with, will it stay a friendship? Because once you get past a certain level with a person, it's hard to keep feelings from you. I don't care whether you was attracted to that person or not. Once you get past a certain level.
What? I'm laughing because you just triggered something. You said, at what point are y'all going to stay friends?
Yeah.
And that's the main reason we as men want to know why that's your friend.
We don't get it.
Because if you hang with him too long, we already know where this is going.
Yeah.
We already know because we men. And
so
that's
you agree with why you disagree with me.
Hey, look.
Okay. Let's make sure we understand what's going on.
Hey, look. I'm just being real about that one.
I mean, it's something you can't escape, man. This is something different than me that feels, that can accept what I'm saying and that understands what I'm saying and then bouncing stuff back off of me and, wait, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. It draws you in. It draws you farther in to the point where when you look up, y'all in a relationship.
See, and this is...
And guess what the first thing you say?
What?
That was my friend first.
Yeah, that's my friend. That's my friend.
You was my friend first. We had a friendship before we had anything.
And that's the basis of
any relationship. Yeah.
No, it's being friends first.
Yeah.
I can see how you think like that.
Yeah.
But I still, I firmly believe it had to be some kind of attraction at first.
Yeah.
I don't think so. If put it this way, you have on one hand a female that's totally that you're totally attracted to, but you can't relate to, you can't talk to, you can't. It's all physical attraction. But then on the other hand, you have a female that at first glance, like, I'm not really attracted to her, but we vibe like crazy. Like, she understands everything I'm talking about. We talk for hours, and it's like,
who the man gonna go for first?
Well, your first, yeah. Listen, what I'm saying.
That's how you find out.
You don't know what you're getting into unless you
go
into it.
Now, see, but that goes into a double standard for me. Because now, okay, so it's all right for a man to play a field and check this out. Well, let me see what it's like. You know what a man is going to talk about when he says see what it's like.
Ain't nothing wrong with
that. Ain't nothing wrong with that for a man.
We talking outside of we talking outside of sexual relations. We're talking just getting to know the person. That's what you're supposed to do. Like, how am I supposed to know that this, if I go for the first person, how I know that this the person that's right?
So a woman that does the same thing.
Yeah.
You just consider that a woman. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if she's sleeping with that man or not.
No, how would I ever know that?
So your first mind is just going to be, oh, well, she's fine. She just.
Well, my first mind shouldn't be, I shouldn't be in her business unless I'm one of them guys.
Yeah,
that,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm not that, then why am I concerned with how many men she talks to?
No, maybe because you're interested.
Well, then I need to worry about how to be one of them men and not who the other man is. Now,
need to worry about what is just worried about how to be the man and not worried about nobody else anyway.
Well, maybe I'm not supposed to be the man. Maybe, but I don't know that. Like you just said, I won't know that unless we have that initial conversation. I get to know her. Now, yes, that thing that draws is the physical attraction. That's what drew in. But then once we get past that, getting to know her, getting to talk to her, I come to realize, wait, we can't really talk.
You're right.
When I'm with you, when we go somewhere, okay, we ride in the car and we ain't got nothing to talk about.
But Susie over here, who I talk to all the time, is where you probably, more than likely, going to end up spending all
that's
your
where
time.
I want to spend my time because I can talk to her. We can talk.
We relate, yeah.
When I see you, I only see one thing.
Now, I'm telling you, most dudes don't get the one that they can get and still talk to Susie and talk to Susie about the one they with because Susie understand and they can't talk to the one they with.
Well, we understand that. We understand that's how things go, but the point is trying to do things the right way. Once you know better, you do things a little better.
True.
So now I know what that can breed by me trying to be in two places and trying to get one thing from over here and another thing from over here, I'm just confusing myself. Now I've created a situation that didn't even have to be because now I got a dilemma.
Now somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be me.
Yeah.
In the end, it's probably going to be me. Yeah, I'm hurt one of the, or both of them in the process, but at the end of the day, you might be the one that end up catching the brunt of it.
Yeah, because you're going to lose. You're going to lose out because you're going to miss something in that.
Now, I want to go back to this understanding, we were talking about females understanding males and all this and all that. And, the only thing I can hear right now is Steve Harvey.
Okay.
Now, I want to say that before I say this.
Disclaimer.
This is a disclaimer. Before I say this, understand that I respect Steve Harvey for his accomplishments. I expect his grind. I expect where he came from. I respect where he is. What I have a problem with is Steve Harvey selling a book that with the intent or idea that I can teach you to think like a man.
Yeah.
I have a problem with it. And I have a problem with that. Now, if he had named the book Think Like Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
This conversation wouldn't be happening right now. But Steve Harvey can't teach you to think like Bob Dylan.
Steve Harvey can't teach you how to think like Derek.
Steve Harvey can't teach you how to think like nobody but Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey needs to shut the hell up. Steve Harvey talk too damn much. I'm going to tell it.
You going in.
I'm going to put my disclaimer out of that, too. I love Steve Harvey. Love him. Family Feud, you know, talk show, radio show. I love Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey talk too goddamn much.
Yeah.
But
stop putting all our business out there. Talking about me trying to help the women. And he messed us up in the process. You know? I didn't read the book, How to Think. Like, I did not read it, but I bought it. And I felt like I might as well have read it. I had to hear all the I got all the backlash from it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the questions and, well, Steve say this, and Steve need to shut the hell up. Steve talk too much. Yeah. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, and you see, with me and Steve, man, this is damn Steve. And I'm like,
Steve get paid his off, man.
Okay.
That's what he do.
Man,
I'm sorry.
Talk to me. But that ain't what.
I get what he's saying.
He ain't telling too much.
Yeah, but if it ain't relevant, it don't matter what he tell.
It's relevant enough. They think it's relevant.
Yeah, they think it's relevant.
Bestseller.
Think what you want.
Bestseller. So a lot of people think it's relevant. Making movies.
Listen, I can sum this all up. How is Steve Harvey going to tell you how to think like a man? Period. And we as men don't know what the hell we think can happen at the time. Steve has an insight. It was a brilliant idea. Hey, I give him the most props. I like Steve. I listen to his show. You know what I'm saying? I have to give him his ups. But the reality is, man, Steve, he's killing me. He's just killing me.
Oh, boy, I'm going to have to ask you to hold that thought for a second. It looks like we got a call on the line. Caller, go ahead. Speak your name, thought, question, concern.
Hello?
Caller, you there? Hello.
Yeah, hello, you there?
I'm trying to listen in on the radio, man. I don't know if y'all talking to me or not. I'm trying to hear what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
We talking to you, but you good. You good. You have any input and want to state your name, or you just want to listen? You can listen.
I just got in here, bro. I'm trying to figure out what the topic got. My homie sent me a shout-out. I want to see what he on.
Oh, okay. What's the topic? We talking about double standards, men versus women.
Oh, okay. Well, let me.
We was on Steve Harvey there for a minute.
Yeah, you came in when we was going in on Steve Harvey and this think like a man stuff he got.
And how he telling all our jewels, giving them out for free. Well, not for free, but he giving them away.
Nah, he ain't giving them for free. He getting paid off of
them. Well, that's what's up, man. If you just called to listen, man, we're gonna let you listen. We're gonna keep on going on.
All right.
For sure, man. We appreciate that. The love and the support and calling in, man. So we're going to keep moving with Steve. My other issue with Steve, besides him and the book and all that, my other issue with Steve comes down to the fact that I think Steve does an excellent opening to the show. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's done in a perfect manner. Everything about it is good. My only issue is at about 9 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays when they do Final Star, the Next Star, or something like that, Steve comes, these people call in, they can't sing.
Putting their heart and soul in it, though.
Okay. And he clowns them. He scrapes up, clowns them. For me, the issue comes, you know people going to call in, they can't sing. Yeah, we can't spare everybody's feelings, but you don't have to just directly condemn people. I mean, it goes outside of just the show. I mean, outside of the Next Star thing, it goes even to the point where if you call in and you say something Steve don't like, Steve gonna give you the business.
Well, but you know that before you call in. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not new.
That don't make it right for him to do it, though.
Well, but this is his show. He can do what he want to do on his show.
I understand that. I say I listen to it. What I'm pointing out is his inappropriate behavior. I'm saying it's that.
Oh, right. We back on Sherman.
But you can't leave it, though, because it's on a national...
How is it inappropriate when it's what he does is what he tries to show?
So what you're saying to me then is, whatever I do, right or wrong, because it's what I do, it's appropriate.
No. What I'm saying... I'm not the person to say whether it's appropriate or inappropriate. My choice is whether I listen. And if I listen, I'm not listening with the judging ear. I'm listening with, okay, let me get what I came to listen for.
That makes sense.
Now, if it's a laugh or it's a, to find out what not to do when I talk to people, whatever you listening for, that's all I can get out of the show. But I can't say he wrong for anything he do. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's his show.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense. And to that point, I think now what I'm just going to do is, like I've been doing, tune him out when he go that way and listen to what I want.
It is.
Because I'm not going to stop listening to him. I ain't going to even sit here and say that. But that was the issue I had with it.
Yeah.
But when you bring it down to that point, I mean, that's just like somebody trying to tell me to talk in a deeper baritone on this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
homeboy.
Like
that was an inner
conflict. Hey, I'm going to tell him, hey, homeboy. Hey. You got in thoughts on a brother. You know what I'm saying? You know,
well, you didn't understand. That's why you can't understand Steve. See, you just came at that man the same way.
That's a double standard.
That's what it is.
I just proved to the radio world a double standard in live time form. That's a double standard.
So, we just need to accept your double standard.
No. I can't even accept it and not be accountable for it, but I can't admit to it.
That's
what I'm going to do. I'm going to admit to it. I have faults, man. I mean, when you get to that point where you think you don't have no faults, you almost said the wrong thing, but you messed up. You messed up, man. How you going to think you ain't got no problem, man? The world is a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
If we can get rid of, and it's not just you, I just pointed out because you pointed
out. Yeah.
But we all, to some degree, are judgmental of other people all the time.
Yeah.
It's what we do. And it creates problems that don't got
to
be.
Yeah. Because you just pointed out the one to me that I shouldn't have even been entertained if I'm going to listen to you.
That wasn't a conflict with Steve Harvey. That's a conflict within Derek.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is.
Yeah.
What do I do with what I don't like?
Yeah.
Do I expect you to change what I don't like to make? Like it?
Right.
Or do I adjust myself to
it's
what I
It's a mirror. So now you're seeing yourself, so now you want to correct it, but you can't even correct it in you.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. That's it.
That goes, you know, I mean, we old enough to remember when McDonald's was getting sued.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these parents saying, you know, McDonald's was the reason why their kids were obese and all that.
Mm-hmm.
No, whose fault is that?
It's
your parents'
fault.
Your kid ain't go to McDonald's. Kid ain't got no money to get McDonald's.
No, thank you. The kid don't have no way to get to McDonald's. And you know, if you are not parent enough to be able to tell your child no, then that's your fault.
Even if somebody else took my kid to McDonald's and paid for it, I still have the authority to stop my child from eating that. If I could. No, ain't no way around is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just, because I don't want to take accountability, I'm going to find somebody else to push the blame on. That's most of, I'm not going to say everybody, because somebody might not be like that, but I think that's most of human, that's just a human flaw. You know what I'm saying? That's just what we do. But we only talk about it when it's done to us.
Yeah.
How can you judge me?
Mm-hmm. You could tell somebody they judge me.
Don't judge me. You don't know me.
Why sensei me?
I'm trying to keep us on the double standard thing, right? No,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, I was trying to figure out something to write on the blog. I was thinking, my mind kind of started small when thinking about double standards, and I was thinking about, you know, just simple thing like smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, one double standard, you know, it's frowned upon almost. You know, a woman loses cool points if she smokes cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, a man can smoke cigarettes all day long.
Cool.
I say cigarettes because it's a double standard that it's okay if a woman smokes weed. I'm going to put it out. I don't know what else to call it on the radio. Marijuana.
You calling it right.
It's okay. If they smoke weed, I just ain't cool with them smoking cigarettes. They can smoke weed, but not cigarettes. So, you know, that in itself is also a double standard.
And you know what makes it a bad double standard? Because most men smoke and want the woman to accept the fact that they
smoke. Exactly.
But Soon as she pick up something to smoke, you like, I don't want you smoking.
Yeah.
I can remember my wife telling me one time, not saying that she's smoking them, but she was just like, you think somebody really want to kiss the Astra? Now, as much as I like to smoke cigarettes, I'm going to be dead real with you. That made me kind of contemplate smoking.
She put it in perspective.
Yeah. Because now I'm looking at it like, well, I wouldn't want to smoke, kiss nobody smoking the ashtray.
Makes sense. So do we think, this is another question based on double standards. Do we think that it's possible to eliminate those standards?
Oh, man.
Based on us knowing right from wrong and choosing to do whatever we want to do, knowing it's either right or wrong, can we eliminate those standards?
You know, at first I sat here and thought like that was a hard, hard question. Then something popped in my mind. Ain't something. I know what it was. I'm going to tell you. Anything is possible to God. Mm-hmm. So I can't sit here and say to you, I don't see that happen. I think it can happen. I think it comes down to the basis of what you just said, right and wrong. If you know right and wrong, whenever you go to make that wrong move, right is already with dealt before you thought about wrong. You, I say this all the time. You'll do something and know when you're doing it, it ain't going to amount to nothing. And still do it.
Human nature.
You know what I mean? And then you come back and be like, I know I shouldn't have done that. How can you say, I know I shouldn't have done that? That's almost like that night when we came to that realization, I fooled you.
Yeah. What we really saying to once to somebody when I say, I fooled you.
Yeah.
I tricked you.
I fooled you.
What are you really saying?
The Bible says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if I tell you I fooled you, I mean, I just told you, you despise me giving you wisdom and instruction.
I made you go against what you knew.
No,
right.
We think it's funny when somebody says, I fooled you. Really? That's the worst compliment you can give a person.
Took advantage. Somebody going to say, man, it ain't that deep. But
it is.
You took advantage of the fact that I trusted your word. That's what you telling me when you say, I fooled you. But I was just joking. Oh, okay. Bet. Gotcha.
And what's even sadder in it, most of us don't even understand what we're saying.
No, we don't. We don't. Not if we don't understand where you just got fooled from. You have to understand what a fool is first.
Yeah.
We consider fool to be something other than what it
really
is.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother hour.
I just threw that out because we had came to that point. And now it kind of matched each other, so I just threw it out.
Yeah. So do we have anything else on double standards, or we going to close this one out? We going to adjourn with the double standard and move on?
Yeah, we're going to lay these double standards down, let it get a little rest for now. If it wake up a little later around or whenever, we'll visit that again. But we can move on, man. There's so much to talk about.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. It's February.
Yep.
Black History Month. And what I did the other day, I turned on the TV. I don't normally watch a lot of TV unless I'm watching sports or something specific on TV. But I turned on the TV because I had heard nothing about Black History all month. So I wanted to see if I would see something. Are there any commercials going on? Is there anything going on to commemorate, celebrate Black History? And I watched TV for a good hour and a half. Now, I could be wrong, but to my recollection at this moment, I don't remember seeing one commercial, one ad, one anything, one fact, one nothing about Black History. Now, the month is almost over. Today is what, 23rd, 24th? Where are we at?
24, yeah.
That's a sad reality. But I guess I came to the conclusion, like, what more do I expect? Whose job is that? We've been on the radio all month, and we've done nothing for Black history. So I figured, you know what? Let's take an opportunity and do that. So we're gonna give a little Black history tribute real quick. Now this about to give you something I want you to.
7 feet.
And listen.
Barren, strange fruit. Blood on the leaves. And blood at the roots. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree. All the gallant South, them big bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolia, clean and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is the fruit for the crows to pluck.
Intended to ensure that the liberties of all people were equally protected by the law. A movement which subjected participants to bombings, lynching, beatings, and other acts of hatred at the hands of people who oftentimes were in similar situations as those they oppressed. A movement that introduced the world to Ralph Abernathy, Susan B. Anthony, Frederick Douglass, W.B. Du Bois, Stokely Carmichael, Booker T. Washington, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, and the like. A movement aimed at stopping unwarranted murders of innocent Black people. In 1964, a Civil Rights Act was signed into law which outlawed segregation in public places. This was one of the major attributes and validations of the blood that was shed by our predecessors. They suffered persecution in a fight for equal rights for themselves and their descendants. Thank you.
gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. I'm able to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Flash forward to 2014. We have a black president. We are able to sit on the radio and express our thoughts and opinions openly without fear of hate groups forcing death or jail on us because of our skin color. We can walk into any public place and be treated with the respect of every human being. We have the freedom of education, religion, and the right to vote and choose who's appointed to govern this country. Our change has come. We have arrived. Or have we? See, in 2014, we no longer worry about the lynching, but instead being stopped, frisked, and possibly shot by the same people who are supposedly hired to serve and protect us in this country. We are no longer worried about laws of segregation, but instead laws that allow men to kill other men on the premise that they felt threatened. We are no longer told we can sit amongst another race and eat, but instead We are welcomed into restaurants planted in our neighborhoods that serve genetically engineered meats and lead-filled water. Our children are not banned from going to school and universities because of their race, but yet are subjected to mind-numbing music and presentations across the internet and TV. You infuriated yet? You should be. A change has surely come, but is it anything like what we expected? The game has changed. The mission and motives are the same, but now with different role players. We are still being oppressed, but by ourselves. The same hate that fueled the fire to start the original movement is alive, but somehow has been transferred to us. If the thoughts of a white policeman in this country killing a young black man who has his hands tied behind his back, or an unarmed black teenager being shot to death in confrontation by a mixed-race adult man, or an older white man taking the initiative to approach a car full of young black teenagers about their music volume, then opening fire because he felt disrespected infuriates you, then how do you feel about the young black man who shoots and kills another young black man because he wants his shoes off his feet? Or the young black man who team up and wage war on each other for blocks of concrete that never have and never will belong to them. Or the young black man who believes it's okay to stand in front of the store and disrespect older black men and women who were actually in the struggle that allowed him the freedom to walk into that store. I've seen the protests. I heard the speeches. And when it's an outsider who takes one of our lives, but when it's done within the family, it's none of our business. Talk about a double standard. We've been duped again, but this time we've allowed it to happen without a fight. I wonder how Dr. Martin Luther King's dream speech would have sounded had he been given the foresight to see how we would handle the freedoms he fought for. I wonder if Malcolm X would have been as willing to put his life on the line every night as he spoke if he knew that his descendants would be as unappreciative as our crime rate, unemployment, and educational statistics show. I wonder if black men will ever get to the point where they understand that they are the most powerful and feared beings that walk this earth.
Come on.
I wonder if we'll ever stop believing we are who someone tries to convince us we are and find out who the truth is. When will something about our history mean enough to evoke change in our present? Will it take us becoming history in the present? Maybe we can start by learning his story in his presence. Time to wake up.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help.
punches I don't. Don't use the. Stop using the don't.
Wake up.
I think I can speak for everybody right now. It's kind of hard to follow that. And all I can really say is, bro, that was deep.
Real deep. Very much appreciated.
I love that.
Very much appreciated.
That was also, I hope our listeners were able to hear and appreciate that. Because we all needed to hear that. That was awesome.
You know, first, I want to say this before I attempt to even comment on that beautiful delivery teachers gave. I have to commend both of my co-hosts today because, boom, you opened the show with a very elegant spoken word, right to the point, very heartfelt. See, what can I say? The Civil Rights Tribute, the Black History Tribute was great, heartfelt. Passionate. I mean, if it didn't touch nobody else, I know it touched these individuals right here in this studio, right, with us. I know that. And I even seen it touch you. So that gives me the even more know-how that I know it was powerful. To try to say something back to that, I'll say this. We, as men, especially as black men, have to integrate unity in each other. That has to be our mission. For us to show any kind of appreciation to what our forefathers, those before us, have went through and allowed us to be privy to today, we have to be united. There's no other way. That's what the forefathers was preaching, uniting. You had to unite. I say this and I say this all the time. In 2009, and I seen it in clips from when Dr. King walked. Those are the two times I've seen an individual take that responsibility of uniting and step out front with that drum major instinct mentality. I want to be out front, but I'm going to do it for the right reason. I've seen it happen in those two instances. And the whole world came together. That's power. Now, us as individuals on our own levels have to understand that. If we all do that, wow. That's all I can say back to what you said, but that's how it impacted me. So even though I knew I was accountable for a lot of things before today, it's a lot much, it's a much more bigger world outside of the one that I sometimes think myself inside that bubble of. And I'm accountable for that. And if I didn't get anything else out of your tribute, that's what I took.
Well, I mean, like I said, I go back to it all the time. Like, the reason we decided to do this was because we got to an understanding of what accountability is and what it does. You know what I mean? And that's something that you have to hold. You have to hold dear. Like, you can't understand it and not be willing to do anything about it and expect anything to change, even in your own circumstance. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You go through situations in life and you experience things not to tear you down, not to, they may even be meant to destroy you. And we're talking about civil rights,
yeah.
We're talking about Black history. Everything that, as a people, as a culture, that we've been through was to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, it uplifted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now,
the struggle.
Today's generation, for somebody to sit down and watch TV and not in the month that's supposed to be dedicated to that,
yeah.
Never mind the other 11 months of the year, but the month that's dedicated to the history of Black people in this country, their struggle, their sacrifice, to not see a commercial. Who do we look to? You know what I mean? For a resolution in that. Outside of that, individually, like you said, like, I mean, I just feel like we have to come to a place in our own selves where even if I'm not at a place where I'm willing to do anything about the current situation, I'm not going to do anything to add to the problems of the current situation, which in turn, you're doing something about the problem. Each individual can make of self. You don't have confrontation. You're going to run into disagreements. You're going to run into it. And we live in a world that's built that way. But that don't mean that we have to all get them to the control. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all been a
I'm fine. And whoever owns that control dictates how things play out. And you can dictate your own destiny, but you have to understand you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking on a literal term, and I'm also on a spiritual term, because even once you have If you decide that, okay, I'm going to get out my own way. From this point on, I'm going to allow God to lead whatever he chooses for me to do. But you still have to understand everybody around you. So you understand I have to and walk with them also. You know what I mean? It breaks itself all the way down. You can't just get one place and say, okay, I'm good because I'm walking with God, but you can't walk with me. God walk with everybody. You know, and I think that's the accountability of it. A lot of us, even myself, we was in a conversation tonight, and I found myself being up in a moment and didn't realize I was trying to weasel out of being accountable for something that I was accountable for. You know what I mean? But That's the beauty, like you said, that struggle, that conflict was there. When I got through it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to concept in my mind that, boom, you was fighting it because you knew you were supposed to be doing it.
Right.
You didn't want to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I say you, I mean as in I, as in Derek, but God is showing you what you should be doing. Go and do it.
They kind of planned it down a little. They got heated up in this
mm-hmm.
thing last night.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got heated. I had to step back.
For me, is that the topic that we were talking about meant something to both of us?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was that. But because, like you said, there was one party who was trying to push accountability and one party who was trying to push off accountability, it created that conflict. And just like you ain't gonna stop, I ain't gonna stop. Wherever we gonna take it, it ain't gonna come to blows, it ain't gonna come to this, it ain't gonna come to that. It's a conflict. And if we understand anything about conflict, what we should understand is that conflict always has a revelation. Like I really believe that's the point of conflict.
Yeah.
It's how you address that conflict. It's how you go into that conflict that's going to determine what you get out of that conflict. You know what I mean?
Conflict is, we've been fooled to believe conflict is bad, when in actuality, conflict is the answer to understanding.
Right. It's the only way you're going to get
yeah.
to that point.
Yeah.
The thing bad about conflict is how you handle it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How you choose
yeah.
to handle it.
Yeah. That's exactly it. If I'm opposed to conflict, I can make conflict my friend by going into it saying, okay, you come... Conflict, you came here to present me a fight. I come here to learn. Now, you fight all you want, but I'm sitting here to learn. Because ain't nobody fighting nobody, ain't fighting them. It's just that simple, you know what I mean? It comes back to that. And that's why I say we need conflict.
I think we got a caller. Caller, go ahead. State your name, your topic. Thank you for joining.
That's up to me.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, caller.
Hey, I called in a little bit earlier, man, and y'all was talking about Steve Harvey. I was calling back to weigh in on that, man, because I had some time to think about some things. Is that topic still open? Y'all talking about something else?
We're opening any topic. Go ahead. Speak your mind.
Okay, y'all was talking about Steve Harvey, and I didn't catch the whole conversation, but I heard my man say that Steve Harvey giving away the information, and then somebody said that he's really selling it. But I'm thinking that information is prudent, man. You know, I'm 47 years old, man, and I was with a young lady from 16 to 32. Now, at 32 years old, you think you can get it right, man, but didn't nobody ever teach me how to appreciate a woman and love a woman? So Steve Harvey could be doing the fellas some good, too, man, because a lot of us brothers, man, ain't learning or ain't knowing how to appreciate a woman. So I ain't gonna hate on Steve Harvey for that, and I'm gonna remain open to it. And I'm hoping some of the young brothers is paying attention, man, because a lot of good ladies getting away from us out here because we don't know and they ain't been exposed, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, you make a good point. I was the one that said he was talking too much, so I'm gonna say.
No, he ain't coming at you like that. We open to this.
No, I
appreciate your point.
Yeah, what you're doing is that was my point. I didn't probably ain't say it right, but that was my point. Okay, he should be talking to us. Write a book to me. I'll buy it. Teach me how to be a better man. Teach me how to be a better husband. I definitely want to know that. My point, he's going about it the wrong way. Don't talk to the women. Talk to me. Talk to me man to man. That's what I want from Steve Harvey.
Maybe it's a dual education. You know, if he can teach them, and maybe they can be more patient with us. Because, man, we lose them because we don't know. He might be telling them that they don't know no better, so be a little patient with them. You know, school them a little bit. I don't know, man. I ain't hear the whole conversation, but that's my take, man. I mean, we as older males, we got to teach our young brothers, teach our sons, man, that a woman should be cherished and not abused, man. A woman should be loved and not ignored, et cetera, et cetera.
Real talk. And I appreciate your point of view. I openly welcome you. You even opened my eyes to something by saying that. Because
yeah.
I never looked at it from that
Definitely,
point.
Definitely, me either.
And I appreciate that. And we appreciate you calling in, your support. We hope you keep calling in and keep listening. I mean, if you want to stay on the line,
oh, yeah, this,
you can.
This is my boy. I told my dude, man, this one is up north stuff, man. You know, he went down south and
that's
went
what's
big
up.
Time on
that's
me,
what's
but that's
up,
all good.
Man. That's what's up. That's
but
my engineer, Anthony Thomas. Tone.
What up, Lot?
Yeah, that's my dude. That's my dude, man. And he knows exactly where I'm at on that, man. That dude used to have a calendar, man, with all the women he went through when we was in high school, man.
Oh,
it was like that. That's real.
Yeah.
That's real, man. That's real.
Oh,
but,
you
hey, he was a young man. He ain't know no better.
Yeah,
he ain't
I know.
No better.
You
he ain't know no better, but now he on point. Now he on point, but that's just how we did things, man.
Hey, that's what your homeboys do.
You know, that's how it was, man.
Yeah,
like,
he did. We're gonna emphasize.
Tony said
he wanted to emphasize. You said he was a young man.
He was a young man. That dude loved his wife right now. That dude on top of the world, and I'm loving him for that, man.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up, brotherly love. That's what we trying to promote right there, man. We love that.
Okay, so
ahead,
I'm gonna listen in on y'all conversation and see what else going on here, and I'm gonna tune in, man.
Okay.
Today I got an off day.
All right, good, man.
I can relax a little bit.
All right, keep listening then. Appreciate it.
The question I wanted to pose based on what he just said and what your response was, I'm thinking of you, just,
mm-hmm.
You said, why not write a book to us?
Right.
But had he written the book to you, now be honest,
yeah.
How much of you would have had the response? You ain't gonna tell me what to do. Like, you can't tell me what to do. Would there have been resistance if he wrote the book to you?
Probably.
So yes, there would have been resistance.
But
exactly. So it was a lose situation.
Right.
For him.
But my homeboy would read it.
Yeah,
he would have told me about
it. Yeah.
And then I probably would have maybe picked it up and read.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that.
But I agree with what he just said in addressing women.
Yeah.
Now, again, you got to look at marketing and everything when you look at a situation.
Mm-hmm.
In addressing women, it's a larger audience, and 9 times out of 10,
they gonna buy
men going to gravitate to what women are interested in more than women gravitating to what men are
interested in. Yeah, that's true.
So if his book blow up and it's directed towards women, men going to pick that book up and be like, hey, man, what you saying? The same thing that you saying. Like, what are you saying?
We got a call? No. Okay, go ahead,
We went back to Steve Harvey for a minute, but I think it's more, I appreciate the caller, and don't take this as me saying that I don't, as anything other than what I'm saying. Where we were in that moment is something that I feel like we need to focus on, and not just in this conversation. It should be like the man said as he was singing it, man, like we gotta wake up to what's really going on around us, man. Because the whole mission and the whole intent has been to destroy us from the day we got over here. Now, I say we because I'm black, but you understand where I'm going.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, the system and everything that we've ever encountered, even though we may have seen the benefit and we may have seen the positive, that's what we do. But it was never designed to work. We are in the state we are in right now because we refuse to seek and follow the truth. And that's just my opinion. I could be dead wrong according to somebody else, but that's my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, if we didn't know how to read when we got here. You taught us how to read, and then you wrote books
and
for
us
to read.
Told us that.
But that's what it means. So there was no way for us to, the only truth we have is the truth that we came over here with. And had that truth been passed down through generations, then your book probably wouldn't hold as much weight to me. Like I always say, if Tony were to write a book right now on a subject that I know nothing about, I'm forced to take your opinion. I'm forced to take what you say in that book as true, unless I have a truth of my own to compare with what you say. So now, based on what we're saying, and in this conversation with society, with who we are, with how we live, even who God is, how do we know what the real truth is?
You talked about the system. I just want to, now, I hope I'm not going off topic. I want to stay on your topic. So I might come back to you and actually get me back in line. But you said, you know, the system doesn't work for us. The system wasn't built for us.
Exactly. That's why it don't work for us.
That's why it don't work for us. The system was never built for us in the first place. You know, everything we gain as a people, we fought for that off of their words. So, you know, I just feel, you know, you kind of threw me off with that.
Yeah.
I got to get used to that.
Yeah.
We're going to throw a partition up on you.
Okay, man. That's all right, y'all. This live, man. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. It's raw. Right, so it is what it is.
Give me back on track now, Cole. Give me back on track.
You say the system was never intended for us, and that's why it doesn't work, and this, that, and third. I agree with you, and that's the same thing that I'm saying. That does not mean, though, that we can't benefit from your system.
Right.
Yeah.
I just won't buy into your system the way you want me to buy into your system. No, I'm going to take what's in your system that works for me and use it for me.
Right. Right.
What you threw in there that you thought I wasn't going to pick up on that was supposed to work against me, let's just go with this stand your ground thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a law, okay. And it's in Florida, and this is where we are. Now, the law says that you have the right to defend yourself to the extent of deadly force when you feel threatened. Number one. When I read this law, now I'm paraphrasing, I don't know the law word for word, but as I'm reading this law, I'm like, who in the world can determine whether a person is telling the truth about feeling threatened?
Right.
You can never tell me when I feel threatened and when I don't. Somebody can look at you the wrong way and you can say, I feel threatened.
Right. Yeah.
That's the loophole of the law. That's why some people, it works for other. There's a black man. Retired, I don't even know if he was retired, but he was in the service. I don't know which branch.
Mm-hmm.
I just read through the headline of the story. Something happened to him where he was actually threatened. Like it was a physical confrontation. So he shot and killed, and they sentenced him to 32 years. I would have to read the story to give you the full, but I'm saying like that's
bar fight.
An example right there of that law wasn't meant for you.
Yeah.
That law is not meant for us. That law is put in place. Man, let me say it bluntly. I said was,
say it.
we are, a black man is the strongest and most feared being on this planet. That's my belief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simply because when you try to tear something down with everything you got,
mm-hmm.
and you can't,
mm-hmm.
that breeds fear.
Yeah.
I want to know what he got in him that's so strong that no matter what I do to him, he keep coming back. He will not just lay down.
Luck, you had a question you wanted to chime in on?
Yeah, I wanted to chime in on the whole statement. I know you guys down in the South, man, y'all see things a little differently, but I'm thinking the system is the best system in the world. Now hear me
mm-hmm.
out. Based on the fact that O.J. walked with the system, okay, mind you, we were being tried and lynched by the white man for so long. And at the same time, when our lynchers were caught and prosecuted, they were freed by all white jurors. Is it the system, fellas, or the drawers? Now people can get in there and they can twist the system to work to their advantage, i.e. what defense attorneys do or prosecutors do all the time. So I'm not so sure the system failed us. I'm thinking the jurors didn't understand the system. That's where they let these people down, because the system system in the world.
I would say
because
this
it works
to that.
For us at times.
The jurors,
it was
are a product of the system.
We choose the jurors. Now, sometimes we can get our case moved out of certain counties, et cetera. Everybody's outraged by the outcome of that trial. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, the system, the best system in the world, man, and the majority of the time is going to work. Did it fail these people? For the most part, it did, man. But it's the prosecutors who didn't give the jurors the proper instructions, who didn't allow them to seek a alternative to first degree murder, maybe, you know, second degree, things like that. But the system is the system, man, and I think it works for everybody. That's just my point.
Can I respond to you on that? You brought up OJ. OJ is a black man. We all about all of that here. I will say this to you, and I have no fear in saying what I'm about to say to you. If they had enough evidence to convict OJ of murder, I don't care that the system let him off. He deserved to be convicted. Right is right, wrong is wrong. OJ didn't have that to do. He put himself in that position. If I'm saying hypothetically, if he did it, if you did that, if you killed them people, whatever the case may be, you knew what the consequence of that was before you did it. Don't depend on the loopholes of the system to correct your moral flaws. You shouldn't have done that. So I'm still saying like this. I don't think the system may be the best in the world, but is it the best in the world for me? It's the best in the world for you because you said it.
I mean, it's the best in the world for all people accused. You're innocent to proven guilty, man. You got to remember, before the system was even implemented, man, the British was going into people's houses, taking them out, and arresting them and condemning them right away. Now you got right to face your accusers, et cetera, man. It's a great system. Is it flawed?
Okay. I'm going to let you go with that, but we got somebody else who called in. I want to give them a chance to respond.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, caller. You live.
Oh, this is Big Snap checking in from the Milltown. How y'all doing?
All right, what's up, Snap?
Good, brother. How you doing?
What up, Big Snap?
Hey, ain't nothing. I was just first-time callers, first-time listeners, so I just kind of got into a little bit of the topic. And I know y'all kind of was talking about stand your ground, and then it kind of evolved into some type of OJ situation and some other things, but just kind of what my man said about the system, he's right in the respect as far as jurors, that the reason a lot of this stuff happens to us is because black people don't do jury duty. The jury duty is never made up of a jury of your peers. How many people do you know when you get that jury notice, you throw it in the mail, you don't go, you don't do this? We are the most represented as far as the criminal justice system, but not as far as the jurors. Nobody goes to do their jury duty. So it is reflective on some of our responsibility as to why this is happening to us. We got to take some responsibility, start going down there, start being jurors, start standing up and saying no. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Now, in terms of why OJ so happened to catch a break, OJ had one of the greatest legal minds ever, black legal minds ever in the face of the world, on his team, Johnny Cochran, which is, you know, why they ended up killing the man. But O.J. did, R.I.P. Johnny Cochran. But O.J. did have the fortune of being able to get him to represent him. I don't know if, you know, like you said earlier, it gets kind of twisted depending on the defense lawyer or the prosecution. Whoever has the better player at that point in time usually gets a chance to take advantage of the system. And in that instance, Johnny Cochran, any instance pretty much where Johnny Cochran has something to do with it, you were going to lose.
That's a good point, man. That's a good perspective, and you're absolutely right. If we take responsibility and accountability, which is two words we throw around every show, if we take that and we go down to jury duty and we go and we stand up and do, you know what I mean, what we're called to do or what we can do, yeah, maybe we can change the way the system works for us. That is an excellent point, and I appreciate you bringing that.
I don't know if we can
change
it, but we definitely can make some effect as far as what's going on with us. I mean, I know I'm a victim of the legal system. You know, I don't want to say victim. A lot of the situations I done put myself in, I done got myself in. But at the same time, looking at the odds when you are railroaded into a plea bargain type of situation, what do you do? You know, that's the option a lot of people are faced with because they don't have the means to represent themselves with lawyers and stuff like that, how other people can get over.
Yeah.
But man, this is definitely on us to, you know, start being somewhat responsible for that. Jury duty is one of the easiest, inexpensive ways to affect it. It don't cost nobody nothing to go down there and do that jury duty and, you know.
You make a good point on the jury duty because I've never been summoned for jury duty, but I've always said that if I did jury duty, I ain't going. You know, but now, you know, you put that accountability onto me now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now I look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
So when I get that letter, it's going to be hard for me to throw that away.
Yeah.
And not only that, man, I think a lot of the reason why some people, and this could be just an excuse, but this is the reason I gave myself, because I'm one of them that didn't go.
Go.
I got the letter and I didn't go.
That guy.
Couple times. But at the end of the day, I'm asking myself, do I want
to
be the person to make that decision? That's not me. I don't want to do that. And if I walk in here and all the evidence says that this man did it, and just because he's black and I want to get back at y'all, I go the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. I'm dead ass. I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a constant conflict. Like, what do you do? Because I'm probably going to be the one, I ain't even listening to it. I'm not listening to what happened. I'm not listening to none of that. You're going to get off if it's down to me. If it come down to me, you're going to get off.
Okay.
Hey,
as the engineer, I saw
actually
got that.
Hold on.
And that's
fair. Go ahead, get your point.
Okay, love, go ahead.
I saw a black juror from the young man for the white man trial down in Florida on one of the news shows. And she said that she felt that the man didn't murder the kid, yet he fired the shot. But she was informed to have a second-degree murder charge or something like that. And I was flabbergasted to hear this black lady, and she black as all black can be, dreads the whole nine, man. I'm looking at her and say, if you were on that trial, and please, I don't mean a stereotype, but I mean this is a sister. You know, but she was articulate, so she was an educated sister. But I'm just saying, sometimes we be so educated, we stupid. You know what I'm saying? Because we all know when that man fired them gunshots into that car, he tried to kill all them kids. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So for that young lady to say that she didn't believe it was first-degree murder, but maybe second-degree murder, and didn't hang that jury or allowed it to be passed through as that, which is fine due to the fact that he got the three attempted murder charges, and that's worth 60 years. I get that point. But no, man, you call a spade, you call a killer, man. The man tried to kill all them babies, man, and it's as simple as that. But she said she didn't see it that way. Now, you got a moral obligation to do the right thing, yet you still got a civic obligation to do what you should do for us, too, man, when you're in that position.
That's that conflict.
No, she could have been. You know, it's as simple as that. So if I'm going into that jury, I don't know which way I'm going to go, man, but I'm going to do the right by my people, and I'm going to do right by my Lord. It's as simple as that.
There it is. Now, you hit that on the head just then. And I'm going to bring this back. And I don't mean to move away from what y'all were saying, but you asked a question before we went here to the system. And Bone said he knew he was going to do it. But you said, what is our truth? I'm finna tell you what the truth is for Derek. I read somewhere that I am the truth and the light. And that was God's answer. So for me, my truth is God. Now, I don't know what anybody else's truth is, but if you get that truth, you get on the path to the beginning and the end. And while you in the middle, you got God. So for me, that is the explanation for heaven on earth.
So now, taking that theory.
It ain't that hard, man.
Taking that theory into a courtroom. I'm sorry, go ahead, bro.
it ain't that hard due to the fact that we got to answer to the Lord for all the things we do
yep.
and all the things we don't do. He might have gave us the spirit to solve this problem down here, and we didn't move in it. We chose to be mm-hmm. grandiose.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But no,
yeah.
man, you got to be human, and you got to be godly, and you got to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? So when I saw that young lady on TV talking about that man then tried to commit first degree murder, I was overwhelmed. I'm like, what the hell wrong with her? Excuse me, y'all. But what was wrong with her? You know, because if anybody shoots 10 times into an automobile, he's trying to kill somebody. And he's trying
yeah.
to kill everybody with that many shots. And it ain't that hard to figure out. You know, I don't need no lawyer to tell me that. I don't need no judge to give me the proper instruction.
Hold on.
It ain't that hard.
I think we got a man here that disagree with what you're saying.
Okay, I'm only saying that because as a juror, when you get that letter and you go to jury duty, right,
mm-hmm.
it is very difficult to get a unanimous decision when you in there with 11 other jurors. Now, the difference between first-degree murder and second-degree murder is you went somewhere intentionally planned
to kill
a motherfucker.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So if you didn't do that, then it's second-degree murder. So he had his pistol on him, and he fired them shots in that car because, like Corey said, it's a different reason why people think their lives are threatened.
Right.
It could be because somebody looked at you. These cats didn't look at him crazy, you know, but at the same time, we don't know what the hell his mental state was at the time.
But
he pulled out his gat and started blasting. That's
they
exactly
had
the
right
I'm
to look at him crazy, though.
I'm
you came to
me
with my music in my vehicle. I got the right to look at you crazy. So that gives you the right to kill me because I looked at you crazy?
Hey,
really?
Man,
well,
I'm holding out, and I'm hanging the jury.
The law
between first degree and second degree.
Under the law.
Even understand your ground.
Perception.
Understand your ground. If he perceived that to be threatening,
right.
then by stand your ground law and the way it's written, he's justified.
Okay,
that's why the
so
law is flawed.
Yeah.
Exactly, because those
young
guys
I'm just saying. I was just pointing out.
Had they had a pistol in the car, and you walking up to my vehicle, it's four of us in here.
And
we
I
feel threatened automatically. So if we open up just because you walk into the car, we going to get off? I doubt it.
But what I'm saying is,
black
this is the loophole.
Out.
That's the loophole.
But who does the loophole work in favor
of? No, you act like I'm arguing against you.
No, I get
you.
I get you.
I'm arguing with you. Well, I'm discussing it with you. Yes, the loophole is set for them. We are. It's proven.
Mm-hmm.
Trayvon Martin, in this case, it's proven. I mean, it wouldn't be such an uproar if it wasn't already proven. Just to set up, it's put in place, and it's not a coincidence.
No, let's go back to the reason why they feel like they can do that.
Because the law gives them the permission. The law gives them permission to do that.
Yeah, the value of black life is zero. Nobody cares.
I hear you, Snap.
What did
he
say?
He said the
value
of black
life
is zero.
We allow that.
Yeah, because and if we sit here and say in some instances we don't feel that way towards our own kind, we lie to ourselves.
We are lying. We are lying to ourselves and everybody else. That's the problem. It don't matter what nobody else try to do to me. You know what I'm saying? It's what I do to me.
Yeah.
So if I do it to me, what gives you the idea that you can't do it to me? When I stop doing it to me, then you might have a second guess about what I might do if you try to do it to me.
Basically, once the black life, the life of a black person, has value to us.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Until it has value to us, it's not going to ever have value to anybody else. How can we expect?
Hey, man, I don't know how old you brothers is, but that ain't going
to
happen in our lifetime because we got screwed up.
I don't know. I couldn't hear you. Say that again?
I say, I don't know how old you brothers is, but before we can get that right, it ain't going to happen in our lifetime because we're so far behind the eight ball, man. We got young brothers doing nothing all day but plotting to harm one
you,
another
the only
at night.
I'm not necessarily sure I'm ready to. I'm not ready to sure. I'm so ready to let
give up on
white supremacy to post-traumatic slave disorder. where, you know, slavery is distorted. I'm not sure I'm ready to equate that and say that because we're killing each other, that it's okay for them to kill us. So I'm not ready to equate
okay,
that.
Man. I'm not going to
justify us killing us or white people killing us by us killing us. What I'm saying, and we're not that far off. There's a few things, there are several things that we could do immediately that, you know, to change the fortune of what's going on. And a lot of it is kind of some of the stuff that they're already doing is investing in kids. It's about the kids. They said I was at a meeting yesterday with a brother named Umar Johnson, and dude is real deep. But they said generationally, if we take a hold of the problem right now as it is in 20 years dealing with kids, we could have this whole thing turned around, or just one generation. And there's all type of economic ways, like material resources and stuff like that we can take advantage of now that people aren't focusing on that will put us in a better position. So it's things to do. It's just we got to start getting together and, you know, making sure that we working together and that we out, you know, getting with people who know what's really going on.
I agree.
Like material resources, some of the economic stimulus things they were talking about, like material resources in the United States are food, water, leather, fur, and there's one other good that's a material good in the United States. Right now, the general white population is focused on technology. Once this technology runs out and it is about too soon, they'll be trading their wealth that they made in technology for material goods, which we have an opportunity right now to open up some leather factories, some fur factories, things like that, get involved in the fish market, which we consume the most of throughout the country, and there's some serious opportunities for white people to take control over over their own situation. Serious opportunities.
Appreciate that.
To respect and love, man. Respect, love, and nurturing. That's all we got to do is nurture one another, build upon something, man. You know,
The work got to get done. We got to get the work done. Jesus not finna get no work done for nobody. And, Muhammad and Allah, he ain't finna get nothing done for nobody. If that's the case, all the praying and all of that stuff done, we would be halfway to heaven right now. As much praying as black folks, as much money they give to religion, we'd be in heaven right now. This wouldn't even be a problem. We got to do the work. We got to get out here and make something happen.
I'm gonna always include Jesus. Without Jesus, ain't nothing gonna happen, bro. But I feel you. I feel your position.
I don't believe in Jesus.
I'm not gonna rain on that. Exist. Whatever your God is. Whatever your God is, I ain't going to rain on that, man.
My God is me. I am faith, God. You are too, my brother.
Faith plays a major role in everything, man. I'm not going to do nothing without faith. But that's, I understand your position. You're entitled
faith without work is empty.
Well, I appreciate you brothers calling in, man. I agree. I think everybody brought something usable to the table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely agree with that. Yeah. Definitely agree
with that. We can expect, when you have a difference in thought process, when you have a difference, just any difference, you can expect conflict. But it's how we handle that. And I don't feel like anybody was disrespected in that. I appreciate that. Like, again, we can take something from you can take something from everybody's speech. And at the end of the day, all we got to figure out is what we just take the pieces, put them together until we come to an answer. But this thing, we got to start somewhere, man. And we welcome, we invite both of you to come back next week. We can continue this conversation next week. We out of time right now. We got to wind this thing down. But this is what it's about, man. This is what it's about. We cannot be afraid to step out. We cannot be afraid to do something. We cannot. We cannot afford to. If you won't do it for yourself, think about your children.
Yeah.
You understand? That's how I feel about it.
Bone?
I love this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this. I love what we bring to the table. I love what our callers brought to the show. I love it. In conflict comes resolution.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
although it may have been a few differences of opinion, everybody wanted the same thing, the betterment of our people. And that's what this is all about. Talk about apprehension and fear. You know, we were apprehensive about doing this.
Yeah.
You know, we were stepping out, doing something that was outside of our box because we felt the urge or the need to do something different. What we are doing is not working, people. We have to do something different. And this is just our avenue. So I enjoy it. I love it. I want to do this forever. I want to do it forever. So keep it coming. We're going to keep bringing it. One love.
You know, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to go into my closing, but I got to say this. This was a hell of a show. This really was. This was a hell of a show. I usually don't cuss on air, but right now I don't care. This was a hell of a show.
Hell of a conversation.
It was a hell of a show. And it was a lot learned, even by me as a host, a co-host. It was a lot learned today. And I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. And this is what this is all about. If you don't know what Thoughts of Our Brothers is about, this is what we all about. This is it. That's it. That's all. With that being said, lock your doors and open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. Dad out.
And I can't see in the show. stretch and get dressed for some mountain climbing. I wear it well, but this is not by my designing. The inevitable has impeccable timing. And if you left it up to me, I'd say never. Only God could have brought us back together. And all I say is I obey, you see. The family tree is tatted on my back forever. And I feel purpose. The Salvation Army's at your service. Act like you heard it, cause our only challenge is balance. But I believe that the will of God is perfect. Now let's go.
Look at the way he talk. My whole attitude is mine and it's so bald. Give a right the scripture, hope you get the picture. It gives me the answers to my different issues. Life is pain, we can conversate and bring the light over and over. The bills keep coming right. The devil's gonna test you, but really no pressure. Just believe, have faith, and he'll direct you. Diamonds and dollar signs, they on my red slippers. Money maker in my time, happy hour tipper. Synchronize my rhyme just to help the crime rate. Hope my words change your life, help my people safe.